We're delighted to have our first live guest on the show this morning. We're joined by Cathal Crowe, Fianna Fáil TD, who is spokesperson for aviation. Cathal, a very good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. And wonderful to see you here in the airport. I've never seen this done before. So hats off to everyone in Scariff Bay Community Radio. Fantastic to see you here.
Thank you very much indeed. Just to get settled into the interview, just maybe briefly, if you can, just talk about how you got into politics.
Yeah, so I was a teenager, a very shy teenager, which people don't always believe, but that was the case. Got into debating in school, was very interested in history, interested in economics, and I suppose the real awakening moment was in my fifth year in secondary school. We were given an assignment for homework one evening to watch the budget. I'm guessing that was around 1997, 1998. And we were told to write down the 10 most interesting things about the budget. And I know that sounds like most people's worst nightmares, and it was my worst nightmare as well. But I weirdly found it interesting. Yeah. And not only did I find 10 interesting things, I found probably 100 interesting things. And I started watching the news and current affairs a little bit more. And then when I went off to college, I was becoming very politically awake, and I was interested in history, republicanism, and very aware of the history of my community, and there was a huge amount happening in Ireland in the late 90s as well, with the Good Friday Agreement and peace and nation building. And I suppose it was when I went to college, I joined Fianna Fáil, and in my final year of college, I remember being involved in Cratla Woods around Christmas time, going for a walk with my parents, and I said, do you know what, I think I want to go for election. I thought they'd laugh at me. They didn't. They were good parents, and they backed me to the hilt, and that was the start of it, and Fianna Fáil have been good to me, and I've thankfully been elected 4 times to the council and once to the Dáil, and trying to survive in the big bad world of politics and make a difference in the county.
And of course, we've seen that you've moved up the ladder in that sense. You're spokesperson for aviation. Can you tell our listeners what that role involves?
Yeah, so shortly after general election, the Taoiseach, he was Taoiseach then, Micheál Martin, he appointed his cabinet, and I didn't expect to be a minister. I was only in the door at that stage, but he did also appoint spokespeople. So I have a huge lifelong interest in aviation. Well before I went off to college, I actually thought about becoming a pilot, and I undertook some flight training Limerick Flying Club along Cúna. So my home parish of Meelic and Pairteen, many people might know this, but there's three communities. It's Meelic, Pairteen and Cúna. So at the other side of our parish all my life, over our house, I would have seen small aircraft, little Cessnas and rally aircraft flying over our house. And as a teenager, I remember going down there one evening and I got a spin in the plane, and I went off and did a little bit of pilot training. So fast forward to when I was a TD, Micheál Martin had an awareness of my interest in aviation. He knew, as a councillor and as mayor of the county in 2019, I'd been a huge advocate for this airport here in Shannon, that I'd always spent my political career battling for this airport. And I got a phone call from him. He said, will you be spokesperson in aviation? We've never had an aviation spokesperson in the history of Irish politics. So he gave me the role. He also asked me, would I combine it with tourism? I think they both go hand in hand. And I suppose the only thing I can be accused of sometimes by opposition is that sometimes I lapse into the role as Shannon Airport spokesperson as opposed to aviation spokesperson. But here this morning, I won't pass apology for that. But it's a very important role. And for an island nation, I think aviation is so, so important. And yet we have to grapple it and counterbalance it with climate change.
Yes.
But where we're sitting here this morning, the arrival to Shannon Airport, this is the most westerly airport in Europe. And we always need to advocate and fight for Shannon to be on a good platform.
Yes, and following on from your appointment as spokesperson for aviation, you described yourself as being deeply honoured to be appointed Fianna Fáil spokesperson on aviation and tourism. And I suppose, yes, talking about Shannon, how do you see Shannon now in the future? Is it at a good place at the moment?
It is. It's growing. It's kind of back up to record levels again. As I come in to talk to you this morning, the car park's full. That's the first indicator most people get that this place is going well. There's many routes, and yet there's space for an awful lot more to happen. So further down from the airport campus, about 2 kilometres south of where we're sitting here this morning, there's the Future Mobility Campus. There's a whole load of projects going on there around new forms of aviation, drones, unmanned flights. Like, this is going to be the future. It's not going to bring passengers all around the world, but it's certainly the future in terms of opportunity for Shannon. Ireland's just in the last month launched its first ever space satellite. about a kilometre here to the west of us, there's a huge fuel farm that was developed in the 1970s, 1980s by Aeroflot that will soon hopefully be transformed into a sustainable aviation fuel farm. So there's new opportunities for Shannon. And I think Mary Constant and her management team are really pitching Shannon for those new opportunities. That's the kind of medium to long-term future. In terms of year on year, what we need to see here is further growth in terms of routes. Yes. The one country I would love to chat to you about a little bit in a while is Germany, because if you take East Clare, West Clare, or the whole west of Ireland here, in fact, most of our tourists are coming, we always think it's from America. Statistically, these days, they're coming from Britain. The second country is America, and the third country is Germany.
I didn't know that.
We've no German routes.
Okay.
We've no German routes whatsoever into the west here.
Yeah, and that would obviously improve passenger numbers, of course.
Massively.
And you mentioned there about, you know, climate change and our emissions and all that. And plans were made for hydrogen-powered aircraft in Ireland as the beginning of the decarbonisation of the aviation sector. Are we at any stage in that regard? I mean, it's all good saying that we're going to have hydrogen-powered aircraft, but are we ready for them?
We have the capability. I suppose there's a few things to happen here. And to really answer that, the answer to that really lies off our coastline. So up along the Wild Atlantic Way, off the Atlantic coast, we have the strongest wind speeds pretty much in the world. There's a cumulative value of wind farms at the moment being proposed. Now, there's a long road to travel here to get them over the line and constructed. But the cumulative value at the moment is around 76 billion euro to our economy. That's what the value of those is. Okay. When they generate wind, of course, it generates electricity, brings it back to shore. But the key Gold's Dust project here is that there will be the capacity in County Clare to convert all of this wind energy to hydrogen that can be stored and used again.
We're talking about Money Point as well. Would that come into place?
Money Point is huge.
Yes.
And the infrastructure to provide that is already being built in Money Point. And what I think will happen here in the next decade or so is the fuel farms behind the airport here, currently full of aviation gas, av fuel and kerosene, that within a decade, they'll probably be full of sustainable aviation fuels, SAF, as people call them, and hydrogen fuels. And when we do get to that point, you will see for a certain while that the aircraft, you know, nowadays a plane can take off from Frankfurt and land in Dallas. When we move to those hydrogen fuels, you'll be talking shorter hop flights. So you may again have the aircraft from America having to touch down in Shannon and then going on to Eastern and Central Europe. So there's huge opportunities for Shannon there.
Because the reason why I asked, are we ready in terms of hydrogen-powered aircraft? I mean, we see there that we're struggling to meet our targets and we're struggling to introduce electric cars.
Yes.
I mean, aeroplanes is a step further than electric cars.
Yeah, they are pretty big polluters, and yet the two major airlines in the country, Aer Lingus and Ryanair, have very ambitious plans. Aer Lingus were just out this week announcing how they're going to be updating their fleet. So aircraft are becoming more efficient, but it is a pretty polluting way to travel around the world. As an island nation, we don't have a choice. We have ferry connectivity, but we have a thriving economy here. We've a growing population. We are going to need aviation connectivity. The infrastructure that will be fully required is being developed globally. Shannon is playing a major role here in Western Europe. But last year, Deputy Joe Carey from the county and I travelled to the Netherlands, and we visited Rotterdam and Amsterdam Schiphol airports. In Rotterdam, they're way ahead of where we are, and they have electric aircraft. Similar to electric cars, they have fully electric aircraft. They have a whole test facility. So there's many opportunities. I imagine within a decade from now, you'll see far less aircraft being fueled by the traditional jet fuels and more of the sustainable fuels. We will get there as a region, but we don't want to be catching up with everyone. We want to be leading it in Western Europe.
Just on the point of electric aircraft, what kind of capacity would they be working on currently like?
So it's limited. I suppose people know that electric cars are limited. If you want to go to Dublin, you're probably going to have to stop on the way up with your electric car, have a coffee and recharge your car.
Yes,
somewhat similar with electric aircraft. So they're flying, I think, for under an hour at the moment. But like that's fine on continental Europe if you're doing city hopping. And at the moment, it's like 5 and 6 passenger flights. But in time, I think we're going to see huge expansion in this. But the sooner you start electrifying fleets, which that's very experimental still, but then you're going to need a huge amount of additional capacity to generate that electricity. And we're already seeing that electric cars, our energy consumption in Ireland for our road fleet of vehicles is now colossal. And as a country, we're playing catch up and trying to generate enough electricity for that and all of our domestic and commercial and industrial use.
Now, something that was also announced was €6 million in funding for Clare's National Roads and Greenways. And out of that funding, it was 500,000 was given for Shannon Airport access route. That's positive news, isn't it?
It is. And it's, I suppose people are probably wondering what is this about. It's a bit of a puzzler. So the road right up here to the front door of the airport is a national route. It's classified as a national road. That's a road out there. That that road right up to the door of the airport is a publicly owned road. It doesn't belong to the airport. In most European, most international airports, they have safety ratings. I think it's category 4 here in Shannon. Category 4 safety rating, which would be amongst the highest in the world. They need to have a dual carriageway system in the event that you had a major incident here, you would have the capacity to get emergency vehicles in and out without having to queue behind traffic. You'll see an upgrade of the road right up here to the entrance, and it won't materially, I think, speed up people's times getting to the airport. Already it's quite quick and easy to get here, but it will make us more safety compliant in global aviation.
Yes, and do we know when that'll come into place, that works?
Yeah, so there's a little bit of design work, I think, still required, but I would imagine, I don't want to promise on air and end up with egg in my face, but I imagine the next couple of years we'll see groundbreaking on that and the works commencing.
Okay. And just while we're talking about aviation, of course, Dublin Airport recently announced they want to increase passenger numbers, and many of our listeners will be familiar with this, to 40 million a year, but they're now currently 32 million. And to quote you from News Talk Breakfast, Dublin Airport is unsustainably dominant, and therefore there should be more flights from regional airports. Can you expand a little bit on this and what you meant by that?
Yeah, so the Dublin Airport have a colossal market share. They have huge dominance. So prior to COVID, their dominance was around 87-88% of the entire market share in Ireland of inbound and outbound flights. Now that we've come out of COVID and they've maxed out, they're up at this 32 million. They're at the higher end of what they're allowed to have in terms of passengers. Now their dominance position is around 91% of all aviation in the country. I don't think, we're talking here at Shannon Airport this morning, I don't think we could ever realistically flip end that and make sure that Shannon becomes the premier airport of the country.
No,
that's not realistic.
Yeah, no.
But I think we have to look at what other European countries have done, such as Finland, such as the Netherlands, such as Denmark, where they've devised a national aviation policy that ensures that a little bit of an extra share goes out to the regions. There's ways of doing that. One of the ways of doing that is under the environmental heading. It's not sustainable from an environmental point of view or from an air traffic point of view to have 91% of inbound outbound flights all going through one system, through one airport. It's putting huge pressure on Dublin. And I think there's a far greater role for the likes of Shannon, but also Knock and Cork to play as well. If we were to start all of this from the very beginning, you probably would not have put 5 airports on the west of Ireland and 1 on the east, but that is what happened. And Shannon, I think, is our premier airport in the west, and it could certainly play a greater role in national aviation than it currently is.
So you're saying the state should do more in that regard?
Yeah, we have a new national aviation policy to be designed across this year. I hope a lot of that can happen before the next election. But that is key to carving out additional space for Shannon in that whole market.
And before we let you go, is there anything in the pipeline for East Clare and even Shannon Airport? Is there anything that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, well, look, the airport's growing. What we're going to have around March or April is we'll have the airlines committing for their summer and autumn routes. And I think what I'd really like to see there, and I'm certainly pushing it, is that we would see more routes into continental Europe. Shannon has fabulous routes to the States, and we have London Heathrow, which is all important. But there's a long-held belief that you need to be landing in a continental EU hub airport. So I'm talking of the likes of Paris Charles de Gaulle, Frankfurt Hahn, or indeed Amsterdam Schiphol, because the connectivity out of those is incredible. It brings you out to the four corners of the world. The economy here, not just in Shannon, but throughout Clare, is going pretty well. Now, I know there'll be listeners saying, not going so well for me, and there's certainly cost of living challenges. But we have record high employment, we've record high graduation levels and third level, we've people progressing through life and doing well, and yet there's challenges. But all of that rests on having an economy in this region that's thriving and vibrant. And I would see the University of Limerick and Tous being very important and our rural economy. But I believe that the one common denominator here to industry and employment is this airport. If we hadn't Shannon Airport here, I believe would be, it's a fact, we'd be looking at marshland here this morning. There'd be very little happening around us. So this airport has
Shannon
brought...
Wouldn't exist.
So this airport is key. It's not just our county's airport. We have to speak of it more as an airport for half of Ireland. The motorway network, the rail network, all of the infrastructure improvements that have come in the past 15 years bring people out of Shannon, but they should also be a pathway to get people here to Shannon. I just want to say before we finish up that the average time at the moment from parking your car and pressing the lock button on your door of the car to actually boarding a plane is now around 17 minutes. I don't think you'll get that anywhere else in Europe. Oh, it's an extremely relaxing place. There's lovely, wouldn't it be great if Scariff Bay Radio could fly us all out today, but
I don't think so.
The nicest airport to fly in and out of, and there's fabulous stuff here in Clare and along the west of Ireland to experience when you come here.
And actually, I forgot to mention, to coincide with what you said there, I remember talking to Mark Nolan, Managing Director of Drumoulin Castle there a couple of months ago, and you know, Shannon Airport, as you said, is a key part in promoting foreign visitors to the Midwest region, and even for hospitality here in Clare, like Drumoulin Castle, like your Trump's Hotel, it allows visitors to stay in those places.
It does. And can I just say, because you have a lot of listeners around Scariff, of course, and East Clare, Loch Derg, I think Fall to Ireland and the government have only in the last few years realised that there's colossal potential as well. Everyone who comes here into Shannon seems to go to Cliffs of Moher, Bunratty,
yes,
which are unmissable. You have to go to those, but there's also an incredible tourism product in the east of the county. So the whole expansion of Loch Derg, the development of Holy Island, I think these will be things that will put Scariff and that whole East Clare area better on the tourism map as well. So fingers crossed.
Fantastic. Well, we'll have to leave it there. Time has run short. Cathal Crowe, spokesperson for aviation, thank you very much for joining us on Scariff Bay Community Radio.